U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's term as Speaker ends next week. Pelosi made history when she became the first female Speaker of the House in 2007. She also made history as she led the House during two impeachments against former President Donald Trump. The HBO documentary Pelosi in the House, released this month, tracks her life and 35 years in elected office. It's produced by a veteran documentary filmmaker with unique access, her daughter, Alexandra Pelosi, who joins us now. Alexandra, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's dive in. Your film really takes us inside your mother's work life, which of course is no ordinary work life. So tell me about when you started to document her and why.
Well, I've been filming her all my life as a documentary filmmaker. You know, this is my 14th HBO film, and I have always been filming. The first camera I ever had, you know, as a teenager, I had been filming my whole life. I never intentionally planned to make a film about my own mother, but she said to me once, I had never been into the speaker's office until I became speaker myself. And I thought that was so interesting. Very few people get to get into the speaker's office.
Right.
And so I figured I'd been there so many thousands of hours filming. Once she stepped down, would be the right time to sort of share some of those, what happens behind closed doors, you know, sort of a Wizard of Ozzy, pull the curtain back and show how the sausage is made kind of thing.
Essentially, you used your access as a daughter to kind of serve a documentarian purpose and shed a little bit of light on, as you say, what goes on behind the closed doors. So tell me how you did that.
Well, nowadays, a camera is an iPhone. So I think when people think, oh, you had a camera crew and a microphone, that's how conspiracy theories come about. It's like, no, well, I happen to be someone who films everything. I mean, I could also show you 4 hours of my son's piano recital if you want to watch that. Not so interesting. So I filmed a lot of things, but I never put a microphone on her. I never asked for permission to shoot. If I asked Nancy Pelosi, can I film this? I'm sure she would say absolutely not. But because it never ended up anywhere, I'm not on social media. No one ever considered me a threat, or nobody ever said you should stop filming. They just sort of figured that's how I kill time when I'm sitting there. So I think hard for people to understand that nowadays filming is really someone over in the corner with an iPhone.
Which makes kind of it even more interesting, because one of the moments that I found really interesting was when you're looking at your mom and you talk to her about how she constantly, even with you, appears to be on message. Let's just listen to this little bit from the documentary.
How do you do it? How do you always stay on all the time? You're impossible to crack. You know that.
Yeah. Well, I have my sensitivities.
What does that mean?
That means I have to be sensitive to the impact of my words on certain other campaigns. You know, if I'm saying I can smell success, it means I can smell lack of success as well.
You're a tough nut to crack, you know that? There's no cracking you, huh?
No, that's what you want to do, crack your mom.
Yes, I do. I want to crack you.
I mean, I have to ask you, do you think you ever cracked her?
I don't think she cracks. That moment, I was just sitting on the couch with her at home and I asked her that. It wasn't as if I said, okay, now we're going to sit down for an interview, because she would never give me an interview. And if she did, she's never given a good interview because she's always on message.
Yeah, yeah.
So why I included that was to make the point that it's not as if she goes home, takes her heels off and just lounges on the couch and starts trashing, you know, Mitch McConnell in her sleep. It's not who she is. She's always on message.
I will say we do get to see her in her pajamas at home, which is a different Nancy Pelosi, but still Nancy Pelosi on, which was fascinating. The other thing I loved, Alexandra, is the fact that, you know, she's the first woman, and that's just said, but I feel like we felt it deeply in your film as, you know, we see her working the phones in the speaker's office, trying to get members to make sure they're going to say yes to Obamacare. And then you just pan the camera and there are your two little children coloring on the table. And we see Nancy Pelosi as grandma, but it really makes it real that she's got other responsibilities and she's a working grandma, really.
Right. That's the Ginger Rogers, the backwards and in heels part of what she does. You know, she has 5 children, she has 9 grandchildren, and we never gave her a pass just because she had a day job. But, you know, the reason I included the evolution of my children is in all of this is that my son, Paul, he's 16 years old now. He was there on January 6th with her in the bunker, and he was asking me, why do all these people want to kill Mimi? You know, because we call her Mimi. And to me, that's, you know, how dark this goes, because you watch over the course of decades the way she's being demonized and the way, you know, the Republicans are putting a target on her back. And then, you know, how it all ends not so well for us, for my family. So I decided to include the family element to show not only the fact that a woman has to do this job totally differently because she has to manage her family, but also the family is the one that pays the price in the end.
Well, and you said it. We all know how this story ends because of the brutal, horrific attack on your father in the middle of the night in their San Francisco home. He's 82. It was an attack with a hammer to the head. Your father suffered a traumatic brain injury. Can I ask you, how is he recovering?
Well, he, you know, he looks like Frankenstein and he's getting better every day physically. But this is long-term traumatic, not like a cold where you just get over it. This is something that's, you know, it's going to be with him for the rest of his life. When I was in the ICU with him, I was very angry. You know, go through the stages of this. And for me, what I'm wrestling with right now about, was any of this worth it? You know, she got to accomplish a lot. You know, she is very proud. She says in the film, I'm proud of my wounds. She's very proud of her wounds. All of the attacks and everything they've said about her, in the end, she still values what she accomplished as speaker more than, you know, she doesn't really care what they say about her. But the family, in the end, is the one that has to pay the price. And that's something for all future people that are thinking about running for office, you have to think about. My mother always says public service is a noble calling. She really believes it's noble.
And I understand the threats to your family are still ongoing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, my children get death threats. I have the FBI on my doorstep. I just hope now that she's stepped down as speaker, I'm hoping in the new year, we will have some peace. You know, my teenagers have to be, you know, escorted from place to place. You know, there are a lot of unwell, you know, the things that you hear in public, a lot of the things that are on Fox News, they trickle down to unwell people. And those people, you know, they come to our homes. And it's real. I just have to tell you, it's real. And it's really scary stuff. And I don't wish that even on, you know, anyone I would not agree with in any way politically, I would not wish any of it on their family.
I want to ask you about your footage from January 6th, which was brought into the public eye after the House committee investigating the insurrection played portions of it. In it, we see Nancy Pelosi in a secure location with the other congressional leaders making phone calls, trying to get the National Guard out to the Capitol to end the riot. And you're filming the entire time, which is just this incredible moment in U.S. history.
I was concerned there was no record of what was happening. The clerk of the House did not come with us. When the security pulled Nancy Pelosi from the podium on January 6th, she didn't even have her cell phone with her. So she was borrowing cell phones to make random phone calls to, you know, secretaries of the defense, the attorney general and all that. And I thought there needed to be documentation of who she was calling and how it was all going down. So that's why I was filming. I just felt like we needed a historical record. It was really scary, though, because they let us go as family with her out of the building, but they left the staff behind. And I could just see it in the eyes of the staff, how frightened they were that they were being left behind.
So then what happened when you got back to the Capitol late that night?
The building had been destroyed. The mob had broken everything and they'd literally pooped all over the place. And you have to understand why that's so heartbreaking to my mother, because her father served in Congress and she really views the Capitol as the temple of democracy. So this really was a scar on her soul.
And were the staff okay?
I think the staff is still traumatized to this day.
Wow.
Hard for people that weren't there to understand that. You know, when you have an event that's been so politicized, and, you know, people try to rewrite the narrative of the day, it's very hard for people that were there to make sense of it all, because I think they're still traumatized by it.
We've been talking with Alexandra Pelosi, filmmaker and creator of Pelosi in the House on HBO. Thank you, Alexandra.
Thank you so much for having me.